This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. La Crosse is one of the first communities to participate in a new national movement that promotes mental well-being. It's called the Campaign to Change Direction and involves dozens of La Crosse companies educating their workers on how to recognize when a friend or coworker needs help. Teresa Pulvermacher is the Director of Operations and Programming at La Crosse's Riverside Corporate Wellness. She explains what the Campaign to Change Direction is all about.
The Campaign to Change Direction is an awareness movement that really is designed to change the way we think and talk about mental wellness. There are really three driving forces behind the movement. One of them, and I think probably the most important, is recognizing that each of us has the capacity to recognize suffering in one another. And it encourages us to call upon our strength and our compassion to talk to one another when we recognize that there's something wrong. And that's the five signs of suffering. And they're really very, very basic. There are things like recognizing when someone isn't taking care of themselves the way they're supposed to, or not eating the way they're supposed to, things that you would notice. But the idea is that typically we don't talk to each other about things like that because we're afraid of the response that we're going to get. But that's part of the culture that we want to change, because mental wellness is really important. We all exist on a continuum of mental wellness. Some days we're in a really good place and we're really happy, and other days, you know, we can be in a really dark place. But if you're able to recognize in your coworker or your friend or your loved one that something's not quite right, and you have overcome your fear of talking to them about that, it has great potential to prevent long-range problems, you know, and getting into the point where it is no longer mental wellness, where it becomes mental illness, or at the worst extreme, someone would commit suicide. So the five signs is really a way for all of us to change our lexicon about the way we talk about mental wellness. Ultimately, I think the goal is to eliminate the stigma associated with mental illness and to prevent people from getting to mental illness, to approach mental wellness like we approach a heart attack. Or if I say to you, stop, drop, and roll, you know that you're on fire. But I don't think people are willing at this point to talk about mental illness and mental wellness like that. And the ultimate goal of the change direction is to change the way we talk about mental wellness.
Should we go over the five signs? You talked about the issue of hygiene and cleanliness, and that's one of the five signs. And there's four more. And you have this beautiful little list and these signs that people might start noticing around town hanging up that point out the five signs.
Okay, one of the signs is personality change. You know, a person may become more withdrawn. They may become more agitated. That's another one of the signs. Personality changes, you know, you might have someone that's typically been a very happy person, all of a sudden seems very sad, doesn't want to go in social situations, may have a difficult time getting to work. One of the other signs is withdrawal, and I already mentioned that, you know, they don't want to participate in the things that they typically participate in. Poor self-care, like you mentioned, hygiene, coming to work in dirty clothes, coming to work in clothes that they wore yesterday, you know, things that you would notice in a coworker, and that you may or may not feel comfortable addressing. But in time, we might get to that point where you'll say, you know, I noticed that there's something that's bothering you. The other thing is a sense of hopelessness, and I don't know how best to describe this because I think everybody probably expresses hopelessness in different ways. But I think that if you are sincere and you truly want to change the culture, if I were to come up to you and say, you know, I noticed that, you know, you're wearing the same clothes that you wore yesterday, or you seem really sad, or, you know, any one of these five signs. If it were you just having a bad day, what I've done is just shown you that I care. You know, I'm not saying that I think that you're mentally ill. I'm just saying I care about you. And that, in my opinion, is one of the most important things that the five signs of suffering, or even the whole campaign to change direction, can do for us as a society, is get us to recognize that we can talk to one another.
Like, let's say I noticed it in a coworker and I did approach them about it. Do I need any special sort of training? Do I need to tread lightly? I mean, I know all these issues can be so individualistic too, that what's the best way to approach it if you do notice something?
Well, that's the one thing that's been really interesting in our community. And when we came together and told them about what we wanted to do, like, we started with 13 organizations, and now we have 52 organizations who really are the experts in mental wellness and mental illness in prevention and in treatment. And these organizations are phenomenal. We have the resources for people that come upon someone that has expressed a concern about their mental well-being, but people really don't know how to address all of these services, or to access them, rather. And they're, many of them are free, most of them are free, public service. I think one of our goals as an organization is an awareness piece that all of these organizations exist. And La Crosse was quite remarkable, you know, in starting with this small group and all of these people coming together saying, we have this. And our goal wasn't to reinvent the wheel. It's to pull all of these organizations together so that when you recognize that your friend or your coworker or a loved one has an issue, you know where to go, because the community has come together and given you a storehouse or a wealth of information, a wealth of resources that you can get that person help when they need it. And what our group decided was that we have a wonderful service in the statewide service of Great Rivers 211, and they have an excellent resource in a mental crisis help hotline, and they have been doing great work, and the community recognizes that they've been doing great work, that they have resources readily available. So we hope in time to strengthen Great Rivers 211, and all these organizations are saying that they would like to help do that too, because it's such an easy place. So if you recognize that someone's suffering, let's call 211. Let's find out what we can do. And if the community has come together and put all their resources in one place, God, that's a very easy solution.
So would Great Rivers 211 almost be the go-to place if someone's recognizing this, either in a coworker or even themselves? Because I'm assuming that a lot of this will create self-awareness within people too.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
There are lots and lots of organizations, and the county, for example, has wonderful lists of resources and has great pamphlets and documentation. But when you are talking with someone who has a mental wellness concern, it's an emotional setting. I mean, how many of us really can pull our thoughts together quickly and get resources for someone that is in a crisis? And that's why we think 211 probably is a really good solution to that, because you call 211 and they're going to be able to talk to you about what's going on and decide which resource is probably one of the better ones for you to go to. It's just a great go-to. But that said, there are great organizations within the community that are ready, willing, and able to help. Great Rivers 211 is just an amazing storehouse of all of those organizations.
The sense that I got this morning in just listening to people is that, you know, you have almost like the core structure, start acknowledging the fact that mental wellness is extremely important personally and in the workplace. But it seems very fluid as far as how this campaign can evolve over time. And there seem to be a lot of ideas and just people wondering, you know, what does this mean in a year?
I think that it's very simple. What the campaign to change direction really wants us to do, the very minimal ask, is that you take these five signs and you post them somewhere, and you get people to just be aware that they are capable of recognizing mental suffering in each other. That's the very, very basic thing. I think La Crosse has taken it up a notch, and I would venture a guess that in other communities that maybe are not like La Crosse, that aren't quite as developed as we are in our mental wellness resources, that this is a really awesome place to start. I mean, getting people to be aware that mental wellness is important, that we all exist on that continuum, that we shouldn't be afraid to talk to one another about mental wellness, that it's a great way to prevent mental illness. I mean, that's the really the driving force behind all of this. Just recognize that this is an important part of your well-being, and it's something that we should all talk about. And if we were to talk about it like we talk about heart attacks or strokes, we can really make a difference. And in the United States as a whole, there is such a shortage of behavioral health providers. And if we can find ways to prevent people from sliding to the other side of the continuum where we're treating mental illness, I think we've done a great service.
Given all the community partners that are involved just in the La Crosse area, how do you envision that this could make a difference in our community, you know, 1 to 5 years out, you know, in hopes that the campaign change direction, that it continues going and the momentum remains?
Well, I think the campaign as a whole has some very long-range goals, and mental illness and the stigma associated with mental illness and seeking help for mental illness is really culturally ingrained. And I wish I could say that in a year's time, everybody's going to be aware and the five signs are going to be everywhere and the school kids are going to be talking about it and nobody's going to bully each other anymore and, you know, we're all going to be more compassionate. But I don't see that happening, but I see in a year's time that this community will come together and they will have fine-tuned the resources that we have in a storehouse where we can really start pushing the five signs out in a different way. Because I think there was great fear when we started. Well, okay, you put these five signs out there and we get everybody to recognize signs of emotional distress in one another, then what are we going to do? So I think in 5 years, we will have made great strides in getting people to recognize the five signs, and we'll have good resources in place. But I think as far as the culture goes and the stigma associated with mental illness, I don't think it's going to disappear quickly, but we certainly are determined with this awareness effort to at least get the ball rolling.
Teresa Pulvermacher is the Director of Operations and Programming at La Crosse's Riverside Corporate Wellness. She was talking about the Campaign to Change Direction, a new national movement to promote mental well-being. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. There are dozens of La Crosse businesses that are educating their workers on how to recognize potential mental issues in friends and coworkers. La Crosse-based Logistics Health Incorporated is among that group, as it's a founding member of the national Campaign to Change Direction. LHI founder and CEO Don Weber talks about why it's so involved in the effort.
As a business person, you're always looking at ways to improve your profitability and to stay competitive, and particularly with the competitiveness of the contracts that we have to bid on. And, you know, I've always believed that I've been blessed because of the people I've been able to surround myself with, and that the greatest value any organization, you know, or to any organization are its employees and their families. I always include the families. And we as employers always, you know, think about investing in all the things that, you know, are necessary to build and grow and manage businesses, your facilities and your technology. And we often talk about, you know, oh, we know how important our employees are, but I think a lot of times they're empty words when really the greatest investment we should make are in our employees and their families.
And you talked about how, you know, you're trying to make the greatest employees, and I know here at LHI there's a workout facility. And I know other workplaces in the area do that too, but do you think that mental health wellness almost has a lesser priority than the physical well-being.
Well, I think that, you know, there's a stigma about mental health. And, you know, I mean, we have people here who, you know, are being treated for cancer. We have people who are working on obesity problems and people who have high blood pressure and high cholesterol. I've been involved in some of those situations myself, and no one looks at it as a stigma. But, oh, behavioral health, you know, there's something really wrong with that person. When one in five of us suffer from some form of behavioral challenges. And so if I look at my employee base here, you know, you have 1,100 employees here, and you go, one in five? And why should they be treated differently than someone who's being treated for cancer or looked at differently? And so as we develop this wellness culture, and it's not just about a fitness center, I mean, it's so much more than that, and having primary care available, and all the ancillary services that go along with that. I mean, because we have 70% of our employee base are female, and 80% are under 40, we have a lot of babies. Love it. You know, we had 38 babies last year, and, you know, up until a couple of years ago, you know, we talked about the behavioral resources that maybe we should be providing. And one of the discussion points was, well, the stigma. Would employees really use it? Because who wants to be seen having a session with a behavioral specialist? You know, the room is way down the hallway, you know, the dark hallway. So we said, no, we're gonna handle it like any other ancillary service that we provide here. And we started it out, and, you know, educating people is very important. I mean, it's a big part of our whole wellness culture, understanding what it's all about, how to use the services, what is primary care really all about. So we do a lot of that. So we brought on a behavioral health specialist, and it really was surprising. It was booked all the time. And then we brought a second one on. And, you know, you have to understand that, you know, things change during our lifetime. And I've always said, you know, we all have stress in our lives. And when an employee comes here to work, I don't want to add more stress. I want them to go home at the end of the day with less stress in their life. And you know, I've been there myself. I mean, you know, all of a sudden we have some real financial challenges in our life. I've lost my own home at one point in time. I know how devastating that can be to someone, or someone loses a loved one, you know. So there's a lot of reasons why, you know, these things add a burden, and that stress can deteriorate and work on you, and you become not as productive. And we always have believed that, you know, a healthy employee is a productive employee. Well, that's also with their families. And so it was amazing. I mean, I have letters and cards from employees and their family members, how it's changed their life, literally, you know.
I mean, having the behavioral health.
Yes. I mean, here's a card I got from a 15-year-old girl who I had never met. And, you know, she goes, "Dear Don, I just wanted to say thank you for helping me through my treatment. It means a lot to me and my family. If it wasn't for the help, my addiction could have gotten so much worse than which it was already at. It may have saved my life. I am very grateful I got my life back, my mom's trust, and my friends back again, and it is the best feeling to know how amazing people are." This is a 15-year-old girl from one of our employees who I found out was coming in twice a week for sessions.
To the LHI facilities?
Yes. It's turned that person's life around. Well, don't you think that has taken so much stress off that mother and as an employee, and her loyalty and dedication That's, to me, is what it's all about. So why would we not support this? So, I mean, behavioral is a huge issue in this country. It truly is. Not everybody has to go in and needs the kind of treatment and needs medication. I'm not saying that. But people need resources. And they find out, you know, in having conversations. Look, sometimes, you know, we have issues and that come up in our lifetime, and we can go home and discuss these things with our spouses or with our best friends. And, you know, we work through them. And other times you need somebody totally independent, a third party. And having that resource available, you know, to give direction really, really helps. And the investment to us as a company is so worth it. There's no question about it. When we look at the return of what we get back as an organization, and these services are provided free of charge. You know, our employees don't pay for these services. They're there to help them. But on the bottom line, I think it's the greatest return we get as a corporation.
So as you're starting to think more about mental health well-being and the role that that plays in your company, from what I understand, within this campaign to change direction, you're engaging other local employers and maybe faith-based groups and medical facilities, just to talk about this. Can you talk about this collaboration, not only on the local level, but also on the national level?
Well, you know, really what happened was, I mean, there was nothing intentional here that we're going to, you know, go out and nationally try to raise, you know, awareness to these problems. Because of what we were doing here, Barbara Van Dalen, who we've worked with her organization in the past, Given Hour, which she has thousands of behavioral health specialists, who she asked, hey, can you give an hour of your time once a week or whenever possible to help one of our veterans out there who needs support? And because we provide these services to our veterans, you know, we were able to work together, and our resources, you know, complemented one another. And we got to know each other, and she got to really understand about this whole culture we had here as a company and as an organization. And it's basically trying to make people aware, I believe, of a couple of things. Number one, the stigma. You know, let's get over that. And number two is you know, there's five things to you know, observe that are signs that someone is maybe having some challenges in their life.
Don Weber is founder and CEO of La Crosse-based Logistics Health Incorporated and one of the businesses spearheading the campaign to change direction. It's a national movement to promote mental well-being in the workplace. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show and to find other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find a link to the campaign to change direction. If you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff, that and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.